morning, South Lake. It has been some time. For those that are online joining us this morning, I want to say welcome, but I have to say a very special welcome to those that are here this morning. This has been quite a journey, quite a long time getting to this place. And I want to tell you that you have been, this group has been on my heart for quite some time, that I was serious when I sent out the message that I recognize that for a lot of you, you are the most socially isolated in this time. And I think that's a travesty. And it's just the state of the world that we're in right now. And we have to deal with that. But I want you to know that we are taking every precaution that we can to keep you safe. So we're going to bring you in here and let you worship. This is for you specifically. We designed it this way. And so you can see as you look around that we've marked off certain pews, so there's social distancing. The only time that you'll see me without a mask is when we're on stage here so I can speak, so the band can worship. We've separated one more additional row to put you even that much further back from those on stage. We're taking temperatures, we're having you wear your face mask. This is just going to be our new normal for a little while. This won't be forever, but this is to protect you and that. And as we go forward, we will keep you posted. I will keep you posted in the weeks to come on the next group that we're going to let in the church. So we're going to follow this for a couple weeks. I am constantly monitoring the state of Indiana to see what the health conditions are. We're tracking the trend of the virus, and we're going to follow that. And if we feel that we're not seeing any more spikes, that the trend is working downwards, and we think that it's appropriate, we will identify who that next group is and how we bring them in. And I want you to hear this. Everything that we do from this point forward is centered around you. Because we want you to stay healthy. We didn't bring you in here just to get anybody sick. So everything we do moving forward is going to make sure that we keep you healthy. So today, this is about you. Literally, today is about you. The sermon is about you. I thought this was a perfect time to talk about a certain subject. We're in a sermon series called A New Normal. And I actually changed the title for this week, Not a New Normal. Our sermon title this morning is Respecting Our Elders. That shouldn't be a new normal. That should be something that is embedded in our DNA. But here's something that we have to recognize, that over time, sometimes as we just say things, there are sayings like, well, respect your elders. That kind of loses its meaning over time. Because we don't really know where it came from or why we should do that. So I want to take us to Scripture to unpack why we should respect our elders and why it means actually so much more than that. It's not just respect our elders. It goes much, much deeper than that. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you open them up to Leviticus chapter 19? And I want to talk for a second as you're getting there to Leviticus 19 that we have been reading the Bible together this year. And you've already read the book of Leviticus. So you know that this is a book that is full of a lot of different rules and regulations and laws. There's a lot going on in here, but there's one particular place that I want to zero in on this morning. In fact, it is just a singular verse. In Leviticus, it's Leviticus 19, verse 32. And it says, stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. Now we could say, well, there it is. So we're to respect our elders. Got it. Sermon over. Thank you. No, that's not quite. It's not that easy. We're going to need to take a look at Scripture closely this morning to really understand what significance this passage has. So you've heard me say that context is everything in Scripture, that we have to look at the entirety of Scripture. So to help us understand Scripture, I often say you need to use the 20/20 rule, that you, when you come to a passage or a verse in Scripture, you read 20 verses before it and 20 verses after it to help give it some context. Leviticus might be one of those places that it doesn't apply because it kind of jumps around a lot in Leviticus. So let me help you understand where we're at. Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 19 end with "I am the Lord" statements. So Leviticus 19 is bookend with these statements of "I am the Lord." And we have to ask ourselves, so why is it set up that way? It's because God is reminding his people, in other words, Israel at this time, who he is and who they are to be. Remember, Leviticus was written in the wilderness. So as we study the progression from the exile, we just read about that. So Israel is on the move and they're in the wilderness and they haven't made it to the promised land yet. And so God is establishing all of these laws and rules and regulations for his people for a reason. He wants them to be different. And we can figure this out as soon as we read Leviticus 19 verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Well, there it is. God's writing this particular chapter so you can be a holy people. This is what he's saying to Israel. And he said, "You shall be holy for I, Yahweh," that was Israel's term for God, Yahweh, "am holy." So this is how chapter 19 opens, directing the people of Israel to model themselves after their God and to aspire to holiness. Meaning, it's something that you work towards. You are working towards representing God, and you're trying to be like him in nature and character. This command, like all other covenantal laws, is to be made public and observed by all. Think about that in the context of Israel, that the priests would share these covenantal laws with the assembly of Israel, just as a pastor will share that with the congregation today. The emphasis upon the congregation indicates that all members have to play their part in maintaining these commands. And no one is exempt from responsibility in ensuring that holiness is a regular part of their daily lives. So this is calling God's people to be holy. And the rest of the chapter, the rest of chapter 19, unpacks what this holiness is. Now, some of you are maybe reading different translations of the Bible, and some of them might begin the chapter, and it says sundry laws on there. Now, what that simply means is that it is an assembly of all these different laws. What I mean by that, there are different times in Leviticus, so maybe there's an entire section on human sexuality, and so we see an entire chapter on that. Then there's another chapter on ceremonial law, and in all of that, what I'm trying to say is there's entire chapters that unpack specific topics in Leviticus. But then we get to chapter 19, and it's just where we have one or two verses that are said, and that's it. And what I want you to understand, that doesn't mean it's not important. What has happened here is most of these statements are do not statements. They're telling you what not to do. Do not do this, do not do that. But there's a few statements in there that are saying do, that you are supposed to do this. So the sundry laws are assembling all of these laws together in one place. They're not necessarily interconnected, but that doesn't mean they're important. And I would argue, because of chapter 19, that they are more important because God is calling you to be holy by doing these particular things. Now, what's very important to understand, within chapter 19, I have said before that whenever you see repetition in Scripture, That should be a clue to pay attention, especially when there's a word that keeps getting repeated in Scripture. That's important. But especially when you see an entire phrase being repeated, that is important. Now, I say that because when you look at this chapter, there's 18 commands by God on how to be holy. So there's 37 verses in this chapter, and 18 of them are telling you to be holy. But on top of that, 16 times you would read, "I am the Lord." Now think about that. A short chapter, 37 verses, and what you see is this prescription for do this to be holy, for I am the Lord. And it's repeated over and over and over through this chapter. So this is important. God is sending a clear message. This is what I want you to do. John Wesley, for whom our denomination is birthed, says this of verse 32. Listen to this very closely. Let me back up and reread it so you have this in your mind. Leviticus 19:32 says, "Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." Now Wesley says this, where it says rise up or stand up, "to do them reverence when they pass by, for which end they were obliged. As the Jews say, presently to sit down again when they were passed, then it might be manifest they rose out of respect for them." So in other words, Wesley is saying, when the old walk by, you stand up. When they pass by, you sit back down. It's a sign of respect. Now, that's maybe not something that we do in our culture today, but it speaks to the respect that is supposed to be shown to the elderly. But he continues on where it says, "Fear thy God," or "revere thy God. This respect is due to such, if not for themselves, yet for God's sake, who requires this reverence, and whose singular blessing old age is." What Wesley is saying there is that we are to pay due respect to the elderly because they've lived this life. They've toiled. They've troubled through this life. We are to show respect. But on top of that, old age is a blessing. It's a blessing by God that you have made it this far. And for if no other reason that you show respect for the elderly, because it is a blessing. So this is showing reverence for both the person and God when we respect the elderly. However, we also see a warning in this that you shall fear your God, or you shall revere your God. What's interesting about that particular verse is we only find that two times in this chapter. It's found in verse 14 when God is talking about the blind and the deaf. So when we read in verse 14 about the blind and the deaf, and then we read about the age, the elderly in verse 32, it is enforcing the dignity they merit. And it's also saying that God will punish those who deny it. God protects those who cannot protect themselves. So there's a warning that's associated with this. Now, why am I focusing so hard on respecting your elders? Yeah, I'm outnumbered. I like that. I am today, yes. So let us get there. We have a little more clue. If we continue reading in the book of Leviticus, when we get to chapter 20, verses 22 through 24, listen to what it says here. "Keep all my decrees and laws and follow them, so that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. You must not live according to the customs of the nations I am going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them. But I say to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has set you apart from the nations." You see what's going on there is we have to remember our context. Israel hasn't entered the promised land yet. And God is speaking to them, and he's given them all these lists and rules and regulations to follow. And he's saying, I'm going to place you here in this land. Don't be like them. I'm setting you apart. I'm making you holy. I want people to recognize that you're different because you represent me. This was said to Israel. But do you realize that that's said to us today, church? Doesn't that sound like our message from Christ? We are to represent him to the world. In order to do that, we have to be holy. We have to represent him in all that we do. So it's not just something we say on a Sunday morning or do. We come to church and we check off that on a Sunday morning. But it's that every day, through our word and our action, what we do, a consistency is demonstrated to the world. So when people look at us, they go, oh, well, maybe I don't believe in God, but I know he does, or I know she does, because they don't even have to talk to us. They can see that we're set apart because we live a holy life. One of the purposes of the book of Leviticus was for God to describe how the Israelites were to be advanced in moral and ethical character. In other words, to be holy. They were to be set apart from the rest of the world in which they live. That is not any different today. This is not a holier than thou statement. We're not called to be that. We are called to have this advanced ethical and moral behavior, to be holy, so we can demonstrate that to the world, to draw them in, that they want to be like us because we do not represent the world, that we are set apart and unique. Now, we could end there. We could say, okay, got it, we respect our elders. But there's more. Why? Maybe some of you are saying, okay, well, we're supposed to respect our elders, but why should we do that apart from the fact that it's a command from God? Well, I think you've stumbled right there if you're asking that question, because it is a command from God. We're supposed to, but even if you ask that question, let me give you an answer. If we were to read 2 Kings 2, verses 23 through 25, this is the story of Elisha. And Elisha is a prophet, and he is traveling on this journey. And where we pick him up, he's on the road. And it says, from there, Elisha went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, some boys came out of the town and jeered at him. Get out of here, Baldy, they said. Get out of here. So it's a group of boys that are poking fun of him. He's an older man. He's balding. He's losing his hair. And they're making fun of him because of that. They're not respecting their elders. In verse 24, it says, he turned around, looked at them, and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. I think that pretty much sums that up. He continued on, went on to Mount Carmel, and from there returned to Samaria. I wanted to make a little bit of a joke about that, but it's not a joke. We're to respect our elders, and it's very clear that those that God has anointed, he will take care of, he will preserve, and we should never forget that. Now, for those that are younger in our congregation, those that are watching online, you may be saying that, okay, well, this is just an Old Testament application. It's not. It's a New Testament application as well. I think that there are times in Scripture where the writers of the New Testament go and they grab something from the Old Testament and they pull it out and they draw upon it. They really expand it to make it something much bigger. And we see that. We see that when we get to 1 Timothy. Now, here's why I love 1 and 2 Timothy. I love Paul. Paul's one of my favorite authors in the Bible. I just relate to him very, very well. And I think that 1 and 2 Timothy are some of the best leadership books in the Bible. If you're looking to learn about leadership specifically, there's probably no better books than those two in particular. And the reason for that is Paul is going to be executed. He knows he's going to be executed. And here is an old man who has learned so much through his ministry. And because of this, he is pouring out his wisdom to this protege, to Timothy. And he's writing this letter. And I think there's a beauty in that because Paul knows what's coming, and so he wants to share. This isn't just knowledge. Paul is applying everything that he's done right and wrong in his ministry and sharing that with Timothy. And so when we get here, we're in 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." Now, did you hear the language? Did you hear the subtle language shift there? Let's think about Leviticus 19. Respect your elders, right? But by the time we get to 1 Timothy, there's a shift in language. It's saying respect your elders, but there's something more there. The language speaks to family. Did you hear it? Father, mother, brother, sister. It's the language of a family. We're called to be a family. I have said that since I've stood on this stage. Southlake, we are a family. We are the body of Christ. We are united eternally. For every Christian that's ever been, ever will be, regardless of what nation they came from, we're a family. That's a beautiful family. So when we get to this, I want to look at a few things. Now, as far as the younger men and younger women, that's very easy to explain. It says, for the younger men in our church, we treat them like brothers. For the younger women in our church, we are to treat them as sisters with absolute purity. That means men, we treat the opposite sex like our sisters. We protect them. We protect our sisters, right? You would do that. You should be doing that. And you should love them with brotherly love. But the focus of this sermon is on respecting our elders. So let's focus in on that for a second. For the older men and women in our congregation, it says we are to treat an older man like a father and an older woman like a mother. In other words, Timothy is to give to senior members of the church the respect which is due of age and the affection which is due to parents. Did you hear that second part? The affection that is due to parents. So I didn't tell you the entire sermon title. It's respect your elders, but it's also about giving them affection that's due to them. So we're adding to this. It's not just a simple respect, but it's affection that you would show your very own parents. Timothy must treat older men like fathers and older women like mothers. Paul is saying this, and Paul has done this, and we know this if we read Romans 16, verse 13. In verse 13, it says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." That's Paul writing that. Paul is saying, I've been around your mother, Rufus, and she's been a mother to me. You see, Paul is living out what he's teaching Timothy. And that's exactly how we are supposed to present ourselves. Now, maybe some of you have heard the name Cicero. Cicero is an ancient Roman scholar, and he writes of this. He said, "It is then the duty of a young man to show deference to his elders and to attach himself to the best and most approved of them so as to receive the benefit of their counsel and influence. For the inexperience of youth requires the practical wisdom of age to strengthen and direct it." This is exactly what Paul is doing with Timothy. Paul is pouring out his wisdom, sharing all that he knows to this younger future leader of the Christian church. There is much practical wisdom that we can learn just from Cicero's comment for everybody called to be a Christian. Young church, those of you that are online with us right now, listen to me. If the younger generation watches our elders' example becoming a model of Christ-likeness, if they identify with their authority, submitting to Scripture and drawing all the teaching from it, if they exercise their gifts, giving evidence of God's call and of the rightness of the church's commissioning, if they show their progress, letting it be seen that their Christian lives are dynamic, not static, meaning they are doers, they are actively engaged in the church, if they mind their consistency by practicing what they preach, and if they adjust their relationships, being sensitive to people's age and sex, then other people will not discount their youth, but gladly and gratefully receive their ministry. Did you hear me, church? Do you hear the younger generation? If you're saying, nobody respects me, I can't do this or I can't do that, listen to those words. Go back and play them back and forth a few times. Listen to what's being said there. Find a mentor, an elder in the church that is respected, and latch onto them. It is a practice that I've had my entire life. I've surrounded myself with wise people so I could be wise. We had a saying in the FBI, if you hang around with bank robbers, eventually you're going to drive the getaway car. You develop the traits of those that you are around. So get yourself around Christ-like elders. Let them pour into you. Let them invest their lives in you. And through action, meaning you have to do things, through your action, consistent action. This isn't, well, I did that 1 month ago. I signed up for that. Hey, that's great. Church doesn't happen just at a special event or on a Sunday. It happens every single day of the week. So it's about being consistent. And when you are consistent and you demonstrate that and you show people their due respect based off of their age and their sex, your youth will not be discounted. So in conclusion, the church is rightly called a family, in which there are fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. Let us remember from Leviticus 19 that we are commanded to treat elders with respect. From 1 Timothy, that we also show them affection and gentleness. We are to treat our own generation with equality, the opposite sex with self-control and purity, and all ages of both sexes with that love which binds together members of the same family. Church, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have allowed us to bring the church back into the doors. Though it not be the entire church, we are starting to reopen. So, Father, I pray first for protection, that you keep all of us healthy throughout this. Protect these people. Allow them to remain healthy. Through this message, Lord, may we learn that respecting our elders isn't just a saying, but it is a commandment with consequences, but it is a commandment because it reflects our holiness, that we should desire to respect our elders because it shows that we are holy. But more importantly than that, it's not just self-sufficing that we become holy, but through that, that we show affection to those that we love, those that are our family, that we are going to spend eternity with. Why wouldn't we want to get to know them now as mother and father and brother and sister? We're going to be with them in eternity. Father, may you place this upon our hearts. May we always demonstrate this to all that we talk to. Father, we thank you for this message and for the wisdom that you have given these authors so we could relay this today. We give thanks in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please rise and hold out your hands like this? Boy, that looks good. I got to tell you, for 2 months, I've been doing this to an empty church, and it looks good to look out there and see everybody here. Church, you are blessed. You are blessed by age. You have lived a long life. My prayer is that it continue on in health and good fortune. But know that this church respects you. We love you as family. Take that with you now. May your heart be filled with love and joy. And we will see you next week. God bless you.